Hello, my name is Shahe Jurgen, and I'm back this week with another article on the eldership. We've been examining the qualifications for elders enumerated in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. The last two articles have focused on some of the domestic requirements an elder must have. This week, we return to the standard of morality and ethics Paul expects an elder to live out each and every day. Randy Ballard writes about one qualification that may seem to have a narrow definition, but when fully examined, is quite robust.
Lord, take control.
Sober-minded by Randy Ballard. I've recently been studying a variety of topics with a lady. Not long ago, I suddenly realized she had doubts about the reliability of the scriptures. I was completely taken off guard. We immediately stopped the discussion of the subject at hand and focused on this new issue. How can we study any subject if we don't have confidence in the source of information? I believe that every word of scripture is inspired. That means every word is important if we truly want to know what God says about something. While some may find in-depth studies of Greek words dry or boring, they can actually be fascinating and enlightening. In my estimation, that is the case with three words which we will now consider. One does not have to be a Greek scholar to understand God's requirements. It is possible to read God's word in your own native language from a reliable translation and know exactly what you need to do to please Him. But when you want to delve into something and learn every possible facet, there's nothing like wading through a big pile of lexicons. When giving the qualifications for an elder to Timothy and Titus, Paul used some words that had similar meanings. In this article, we will compare and contrast three of those. In the King James Version, they are translated by only two English words, vigilant and sober. We begin with 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2. Paul wrote, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." The English word vigilant means to be alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. And while this is a great quality for an elder to have, that really is not what the Greek word here means. The same word appears in 1 Timothy 3:11 and Titus 2 verse 2. And in those places, the King James Version renders it sober. Comparing a few other translations may be helpful as well. The word is translated as temperate in the New King James, American Standard, New American Standard, Revised Standard, and New International Versions. The English Standard Version renders it as sober-minded, and the New Century Version uses the term self-controlled. We will look at the definition shortly, but first we should notice something else that is both interesting and confusing. The very next word in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, sober in the King James Version, is translated sober-minded in the New King James Version and American Standard Version, and self-controlled in the New International and English Standard Versions. Then, in Titus 1:8, there is a completely different Greek word, sober, in the King James Version, but most of the other translations we have been considering render it self-controlled. So, we are studying three different words, two appearing side by side, but all variously translated as self-controlled. No wonder we wish to consider them all together. They clearly have similar meanings, and yet since the Holy Spirit chose to use all three words, the nuances must have significance. Vigilant. Vigilant, in 1 Timothy 3:2, is from the Greek word nephalias. Thayer's Greek lexicon says it means sober, temperate, abstaining from wine, either entirely or at least from its immoderate use. The exegetical dictionary of the New Testament provides a similar definition, the moderate use of wine. That is certainly one of the ideas this word can convey, but it is by no means the only one. Strong defines it as sober, figuratively, as circumspect. He says it's from a root word, nepho, meaning to abstain from wine, figuratively, to be discreet. Lowe and Nida claim that the literal meaning, to be sober, to not be drunk, probably does not occur in the New Testament at all, and I concur. Considering every instance of the word in our Bibles, we have passages like this. "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, New King James Version. It is difficult to imagine the intent of that verse is that one not be drunk in all things. Similarly, Peter uses the same word here. But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Was the Holy Spirit telling us to be serious and not drunk in our prayers? Of course not. The Exegetical Dictionary of the New Testament also agrees that this word is found in the New Testament only in the figurative sense. It explains further that the sense is sober watchfulness. Well, now we understand why this word is sometimes translated vigilant. While the fundamental meaning of the original root word relates to abstinence from intoxicants, the normal use of the term in the scriptures is sober-minded, or as Loewen Nida put it, to be in control of one's thought process and thus not be in danger of irrational thinking. One would hope it is not necessary to provide an injunction against intoxication to a man who would be a leader in the Lord's church. But the need for clear thinking, restraint, and watchfulness cannot be stressed strongly enough. Be aware, however, that this Greek word is found later in 1 Timothy 3 when Paul gives the qualities of the wives of deacons. He says in verse 11, they must be sober. The New King James uses the English word temperate in that place. Titus 2, verse 2 uses it and says all older Christian men must possess this characteristic. Sober. The next word we shall consider, and the next in our text passage of 1 Timothy 3:2, is sober. It comes from the Greek word sophron, which is made up of two other Greek words, sozo and phrein. Sozo means to save one who is suffering from disease, to rescue or heal. Phrein denotes the insight or understanding a person has. Strong says it is the mind or cognitive facilities. Loewen Nida describe it as the psychological faculty of thoughtful planning, often with the implication of being wise and provident. So basically, it is the way that we think. Putting the two words together, sophron, then, is thinking in a safe and healthy way. Strong tells us it is having a safe, sound mind, or self-controlled. Thayer says it is of sound mind, sane, in one's senses. W. Vine's definition is of sound mind, self-control. From the Exegetical Dictionary of the New Testament, we read sensible, self-controlled, and Loewen and Nida define it as to behave in a sensible manner. We remember, of course, that Paul is instructing Timothy about the qualities of an elder in the church. There are many requirements for such a high and noble office, but having a safe mind is critical. Notice how other translations render this word. Sober-minded, NKJV, ASV. Self-controlled, NIV, ESV. Prudent, NASB. Sensible, RSV. Wise, NCV. Discreet, Jerusalem Bible. A person who commits a terrible and perverse crime may be described as sick in the head. We say a person needs to get his head on straight. Someone may ask if you have lost your mind. These slang terms illustrate the thought of this ancient Greek word. It is the opposite of all of those. It is being sane, having a safe mind. Not surprisingly, the same Greek word is found in Titus 1:8, where, again, it is a qualification of being an elder. Interestingly, though, it is found in Titus 2:2 as a quality that is expected in all older Christian men. It appears again in Titus 2:5, where it is translated discreet and is something young Christian women are taught to be. Temperate. Lastly, we are going to consider the Greek word egrates, given as a qualification for elders in Titus 1:8 and translated as temperate. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. In the original language, this word is a compound of two others, the first being en, a preposition denoting fixed position in place, time, or state, strong. This would correspond to our English word in. The second part is from kratos, which signifies the power to rule or control, Loewen Nida. So, egrates literally means in control. Strong defines it as self-controlled in appetite, etc. W. Vine points out that it's related to the word used to describe the rigid self-control practiced by athletes. Lo and Nida say it means to exercise self-control. Not only do lexicographers agree, but translators are more unified in the rendering of this word than the other two. Self-controlled is the overwhelming favorite, used by the New King James, New American Standard, Revised Standard, New Century, and American Standard versions, as well as the Jerusalem Bible. The New International and English Standard versions simply say, disciplined. The Greek word is not used elsewhere in the New Testament, but some of its cognates are. In Acts 23:25, Paul appeared before Felix, and the Bible says he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Part of the instruction given to a non-Christian about the Lord's expectations of us is to exercise self-control. Galatians 5 describes the fruit of the Spirit, those things that will be produced in our lives, and it includes love, joy, peace, but also self-control. When Peter listed what are commonly called the Christian virtues, he said to add to knowledge self-control. Now we can draw certain conclusions from the things we have learned regarding these words. First, in every case, the same or closely related words are used to describe people other than elders in the church. If all older men are expected to have a particular quality, and if young women are taught to develop the identical characteristic, and if that same topic is explained to a prospective Christian as a necessary component of the new life, then this is not some unusually difficult or rare condition. The things taught using these words are things that should be found in all Christians. But not all Christians are perfect, are they? People fail, and so when it comes time to ordain men to positions of authority in the church, we must be careful to examine them and make sure they have these qualities. Next, what do we make of the fact that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, used two words in writing to Timothy that have similar definitions but slight differences, and then used a different word when writing to Titus about the same subject? Were the qualifications given to one substantially different than the qualifications given to the other? Not at all. These Greek words are so similar in their meaning that scholars, as we have seen, often use the same English words when defining and translating them. If a man possesses one of these characteristics, it is difficult to imagine he would not also have the others. Each has a slightly different meaning, but they all convey the same general thought and describe the same type of man. Are there, though, some lessons to be learned from the differences between these words? Absolutely. Since vigilant means not to be intoxicated, we should consider there are things other than alcohol that intoxicate. Phrases exist like intoxicated with power or intoxicated by love. If you are intoxicated by something, it simply means you can't think clearly because of it. You become somewhat irrational and may exhibit faulty decision-making. Are there things that might cause an elder, or any Christian, to think unclearly? Certainly. False teaching can influence anyone. Our relationships may cloud our judgments. If our child does something, we may decide it's okay, even though we decried the same activity in someone else before. That isn't right. Wu says nephalios is to be calm, dispassionate, circumspect. Vincent's word study says it is cool and unimpassioned. An elder must not be influenced by anything other than the Word of God. Relationships, emotions, and other pressures must not be allowed to affect his judgment. Sober, sophron, is indicative of a mind that is healthy, safe, and stable. A man with this quality will be able to understand problems and perspectives in a logical way. He can follow sound reason, according to Albert Barnes. He can discuss serious matters with the attention they deserve. Several lexicons and commentaries include the word discreet in their explanations. Therefore, an elder will be prudent in his dealings with others. He will not betray a confidence or place himself in compromising situations. As Paul Walker points out in his Contending for the Faith commentary, he can calm the storms of fear envy, and bitterness that often rage in a congregation because he experiences calmness on the inside. Even though none of the dictionaries define the word this way, it seems to indicate stability, even in trying or difficult circumstances. That is something not necessarily conveyed by the other two words. And temperate, from the Greek ekrates, describes one who is in control of himself. He must control his mind, his mouth, his eyes, and his passions. His temper must not get away. He must not become proud or allow jealousy to sway him. As humans, we have preferences and personal desires. An elder must be able to master such things and have enough control to prevent his own feelings from interfering with the work of the church. He will at times feel used and unappreciated. He will experience stress and, like Paul, will bear the cares of the church daily. He will be disappointed and may be tempted to lash out, take advantage, or even give up. But an elder must be in control, and he must persevere. That exact thought is not conveyed by either of the other two words under consideration. Studying in detail the meanings of these words gives us a greater appreciation for the work of the Holy Spirit and more devotion to God's Word, as well as a greater understanding of how these qualifications help identify potential elders.